Welcome to the Majorel Group conference call. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Insa, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Hello. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and good morning to all of those calling us from the United States. It is our pleasure to welcome you to our management conference call on the occasion of our trading update for Q3 9 months ended September 30th, 2021. This is our first management conference call after our private placement and listing of our shares on the Euronext back in September this year. I'm sure that you will all have seen our news release as well as our presentation that we posted on our website this morning with the latest information on our trading during Q3 and the first 9 months of our current fiscal year. Please let me quickly introduce myself to you. I'm Insa Calzo, and I'm responsible for investor relations at Majorel. Here with me are Thomas Mackenbrock, CEO, and Otmane Serraj, a CFSO, who will lead you through the recent developments at Majorel. Following their presentation, we are open for your questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please follow the operator's instructions. Sorry to be a bore, but our lawyers have asked me to draw your attention to the following. Everything we are saying on this call may contain information that qualified or may have qualified as inside information for the purposes of Article 7 of the Market Abuse Regulation. Any oral information given to you during today's call is subject to and governed by our written disclaimer, which is part of our Q3 and 9 months trading update presentation available to you on our website. This conference call is intended for capital markets participants only. If there are any media representatives on the call right now, I would kindly ask you to leave the call and get in touch with my colleague Andrew Slater, who is responsible for media relations at Majorel. And now, without further ado, over to you, Thomas and Otmane. Thomas?
Thanks, Insa, and also warm welcome from my side to all of you on the call. Let's get started into the content, and we have time at the end to answer Q&A. Many of you we have met during our investor roadshow prior to the listing on the Amsterdam Euronext Stock Exchange, but as we also have some new colleagues and investors joining, I would spend the first 5 minutes talking a little bit about who we are as a company before we deep dive into the latest numbers and developments. So if I refer now to the presentation that was published on our website with the Q3 and 9 month trading update, and there would quickly guide you to section one, page number six. Well, Majorel, as you remember, was created through a merger of four entities, Arvato, Echo, Pioneers, and Phone Group, at the beginning of 2019. We are a tech-enabled end-to-end customer experience company, and as Insa said, we were listed on the Amsterdam Euronext at the end of September 2021. After the exercise of the green shoe, the current shareholder structure has fallen. You see this here on the right of the chart. Bertelsmann and Saham have each other close to 40%. Management has invested at the IPO price close to 1% of the stock, and the free float is a little bit over 20%. Again, on the next page, just as a quick reminder, what do? We have two strong pillars of clients that we serve. You see the numbers later. So roughly half, a little bit less than half of our business, we do provide services to what we call global internet clients, so digital companies that are operating globally. These are companies from the Americas, Europe, and Asia, and we do provide for them customer interaction services as well as the important segment of content services, trust, and safety. And the other big vertical, the other big client segment that we do provide our services are clients in industries that are being disrupted, where companies and our clients are building more direct end customer relationships, whether these are banks, insurance companies, car companies, consumer goods companies, I can go on. And we do help them to get better connected to their customer. And again, by providing customer interaction services, so the direct front end to the customer, as well as related back office processes, where we do provide customized vertical BPO solutions. these two verticals, customer interaction services and business process services, is really the focus of our business, and it's complemented by our third pillar, what we call tech and expert services, where we do provide advice to our clients as well as specialized digital solutions that address specific needs. All in all, this service offering allows us really to be the best partner from an end-to-end perspective when it comes to customer experience management for our clients. And we always do this by a combination of three things. And you see this here at the bottom. One is a deep domain expertise, deep process know-how, coupled with the latest technology. So we really bring together a solution to a problem, a solution to a customer experience changing by combining technology with process empowered by human talent. And with more than 66,000 employees around the world, we are basically empowering this as a global platform. You see this here, global and regional delivery, multilingual hubs, which is a core focus for us as a company, and our Made Well Anywhere solution, which is essentially our work from home and hybrid platform that allows us to empower our team members around the world to work from anywhere they want. All of this together, as you see on page 8, let us believe that we are really one of the next generation global CX companies. And I think in our last conversation, we always talked about that the focus of our business is really putting all the different pieces together. It's about executing on all the dimensions: client management, global delivery, operations, technology, digital solutions, plus the right culture and the mindset, really making this a high-performing global platform. And if we do this well, and you see this in a second, our numbers, the results follow. Turning now to chapter 2, what are the highlights of our Q3 and looking at the full picture, our year-to-date development? And as you can see on page 10, our business continues to be all about growth. We continue to see a very strong growth momentum also in Q3 that leads to a 9-month net revenue growth of over 30%. And this also is reflected in our increased headcount of being close to 67,000 team members around the world end of September. Which is the main driver of this development? We do have two special effects. We talk about this later, the acquisition of China and COVID-related businesses. But if you look at the same clients we sourced last year compared to our client base this year, the revenue that we generate with this client base remains the same, and we see this growth momentum with our client base reflected in a net revenue retention of 116%. That this is also in line with what we communicated with our half-year numbers. We always talked about our need to further build out and expand and sort of find the open and remaining white spots on our global delivery platform. And we continue to do this expansion. I think I presented in the investor update our plans to enter Croatia and North Macedonia, and we have made good progress in that regard. We also recently decided to enter Ghana. We are in preparations there, and are confident that we will start production there soon. These three new countries would lead to our total footprint of 34 countries when the setup is completed. And again, it fits right in our strategy to go to a higher offshore penetration with our global delivery network and providing also a global English solution and multilingual solution from places that are outside the well-trodden path, let me put it this way. So to give you an example, Ghana, for instance, we believe is a very interesting location for our global English delivery footprint. All of this is also reflected, not these three countries, but our strategy in offshore growth. In our numbers, you see this on the right. Year to date, end of September, we have grown 50% in our offshore delivery. And all of these things are also combined when it comes to our digital offerings, services we do provide for digital clients, our content services, as well as our tech and expert service. And you see this here at the bottom, 44% now of our total net revenue base are with global internet clients, of which close to 50%. You see this year, 21% of total net revenues are in the areas of content services, trust and safety, which we feel is a very important area. And I think also recent trends have demonstrated the absolute importance of that area even further. And our, as I said, supplemental services line with tech and expert services has now reached 9% of our total net revenue, including the China business, but also including some of the online platforms we have developed for our COVID-related services. And all of these things together, you see this here on page 11, and Otman will go in further detail on this number, is then reflected in our top and bottom line, year-over-year growth of north of 30%, whether this is 9 months or the Q3 numbers, and also reflected in an organic growth rate. You see this year 17%, taking out the COVID-19 effects, as well as the China business acquisition on a nine-month basis, and 15% if you look on a like-for-like basis for Q3. And we talked about in our investor discussions in September often about our operational KPIs that we track and that we have provided midterm guidance. You see this on page 12. And if you look at the history for 2020, the midterm guidance we have provided, we are also looking at 9 months that we are on track of developing these KPIs further. We have improved all our KPIs compared to our six-month figures. And you see the numbers here, further increase of global internet, reduction of our telco exposure, increasing share of our offshore penetration, even assuming some of these special effects like China and COVID-related businesses. We are already in our corridor for content services, trust and safety, and the improvement of our tech and expert services as indicated below. With this quick overview, I will now hand over to Otman, who will guide you in more detail through our financials in Chapter 3. Otman, over to you.
Thank you very much, Thomas. I'm Otman Seraj. I'm the CFSO of Majorel, covering finance and IT at Majorel. And I'm really happy to be with you and share these great results that we've had in this third quarter. So if we look at slide number 14 in our presentation, where we have the developments of our revenues and net revenues, so as you can see, year-to-date, as Thomas mentioned, we're growing 33% year-over-year for our net revenues from 965 million euro in the first 9 months of 2020 to 1,282 million euro in the first 9 months of 2021. And if we deep dive on Q3 specifically, there we have a top-line growth of 30% year-over-year, growing from 340 million euro in Q3 2020 to 440 million euro in Q3 2021, which demonstrates this very strong top-line momentum, which is continuing across 2021. If we look at slide number 15, there we give you a flavor of this like-for-like net revenues growth that we have, which means excluding the China business, as we integrated China for the first time in January 2021. And as you can see here, China already nicely contributed to the net revenues of Majorel with 68 million euro on the first 9 months. And this is in line with the expectations we had of China contributing 5 to 7% of our total net revenue. This COVID-19 business, which Thomas mentioned, which we were expecting to slow down in Q3 of this year, so this is exactly what happened. We had the 59 million euro COVID-19 business in the first half, and for the first 9 months, we are at 83 million euro. If we exclude these two special effects, so one-time contribution of the COVID-19 business in 2021 and first-time integration of China in 2021, we have a growth of 166 million euro year-over-year, which equates to 17% like-for-like net revenues growth for the first 9 months. On slide number 16, I will share with you the developments we've had on our reporting segment. So the first segment, EASA, Europe, Africa, South America has been growing 21% year over year with an incremental 167 million euro. And specifically on Q3, it's a 15% year over year growth. There, it's very important to mention that this is where we have our COVID-19 business contribution, as this support to the fight against COVID-19 happened in continental Europe and therefore contributed to the EASA segment. On GEMS, Global English, Middle East and Southeast Asia, we have a fantastic growth in Q3 of this year, 52% growth year over year. I will elaborate later on the drivers of this growth. And this leads to a 45% year-over-year growth on the first 9 months of 2021 with 81 million euro incremental revenue coming from GEMS. And if we look at SEA, China and East Asia, so obviously we have no reference point for 2020 as we integrated China in January 2021. But as you can see here, we have the 68 million euro contribution of China to the overall growth of Majorel, which is 33% year over year for the first 9 months and 30% for Q3. Now, if we deep dive on the different segments, so let's start with EASA, Europe, Africa, South America. So for EASA, as you can see there, we have a 15% year over year growth for Q3, as I mentioned earlier, and 21% for the first 9 months. So there, if we adjust for the COVID-19 related business, which is only in EASA, it's a 6% like-for-like net revenues growth for Q3 and 11% like-for-like net revenues growth for the first 9 months, mainly driven by the nice developments we've had in EASA with global internet clients, but also some good developments with the BFSI clients, which are strongly contributing to the growth of EASA. It's important to mention that we're still actively managing our portfolio, going after less profitable lines of business, vertical by vertical, client by client, which has a, let's say, adverse effect on the top line, but overall, as you can see, we're sustaining very strong levels of growth in EASA. If we look at GEMS on slide number 18, so there you see the very strong growth momentum that we have there, 52% net revenues growth year over year in Q3, and this is basically the like-for-like net revenues growth, as we have no special effect of COVID-19 business in GEMS. And year to date, for the first 9 months, it's a 45% like-for-like net revenues growth. This is mainly driven by global internet clients. So GEMS has a higher exposure to global internet clients. And this materialized with interesting growth patterns we have specifically in the Philippines, in Canada, US, Malaysia, and India, but also in the recently created platform we have in Kenya, where we're very happy with the developments that we have at Majorel Kenya. And there again, I mean, we do have, like for EASA, active client portfolio management in GEMS. Generally speaking, we gave guidance that GEMS would be growing at least double as EASA, and that's what is happening in Q3 of this year and for the first 9 months. If we look at SEA on slide number 19, so of course we have no reference for 2020, but you see the contribution both in Q3 and for the first 9 months, which is in line with the 5-7% contribution to the total net revenue. Actually, it's even improving as the China is contributing a higher share to the total revenue in Q3 than for the first 9 months. So there, we're expanding our footprint in China, especially outside of the tier one large cities in China. But we're also developing new offers with our digital consumer engagement platform, which is nicely contributing to our tech and expert services, as Thomas already mentioned. And there we're also developing new verticals with the consumer products that are contributing to the overall diversification of Majorel. Let's now move to chapter number four with the full year guidance and the midterm outlook. As you've read in our press release earlier today, we are raising our 2021 net revenues target guidance. Reality, as you can see, is that we have a stronger than expected growth over these first 9 months, and we expect this really to have a very good tailwind entering into Q4, and therefore we're increasing our 2021 full year guidance to €1.7 billion up to €1.75 billion. The previous bracket that we had given in our half year guidance was €1.65 billion to €1.7 billion. So there we are still having a contribution of the COVID-19 business, of course, for the full year, but significantly slowing down in Q4, and of course the first time consolidation of the China business that we still have. Our midterm guidance remains unchanged with the low teens net revenues growth, which is expected midterm for our net revenues. Let's look at slide number 22. So there we have the guidance for our operating EBITDA. We're also raising our 2021 operating EBITDA target guidance. Indeed, also from a margin perspective, we see that the COVID-19 business, which was contributing strongly until Q3 of this year, we will have residual COVID-19 business in Q4. And also, we had mentioned some negative effects of return to site, which was expected in Q4 upon request of our customers. And as you see, the level of uncertainty that we have regarding the COVID-19 pandemic impact across the globe, we see a delay in this return to site process, and therefore we have these two effects which make us confident on top of the growth of our business to increase our guidance from the previous bracket of €280 to €300 million operating EBITDA for the full year 2021 to €290 to €310 million, which is our updated guidance for operating EBITDA for the full year 2021. This is above the 16.5% to 17% operating EBITDA margin that we had given in our guidance, and we consider that this level of margins, of course, will not be reoccurring going forward. So we have both the midterm guidance that we confirm and remains unchanged at 30 to 50 basis points per annum operating EBITDA margin expansion midterm, which we reconfirm. And we also see here on that graph that we confirm the guidance from 2020 to 2022 of our cumulative operating EBITDA margin expansion above this annual midterm target of 30 to 50 basis points per annum. And this will lead or equate to the fact that the margins starting from 2022, we will have a drop in our margins versus the margin of 2021, considering the fact that we do not expect any COVID-19 business in 2022 onwards. That's for the guidance. Thomas, back to you for chapter number five.
Thanks, Osman. And I think as you all have seen and read, we are quite proud of what we have achieved as a company the first 9 months, and we are even have raised our outlook for the year given these developments as Otmane laid out. And as you can see on page 24, with a strong like-for-like net revenue growth, in particularly driven from our existing client base where we have deeply entrenched relationships working on multiple LOBs across multiple territories, gives us a strong feeling of the level of partnership and trust we have built with our clients. In particularly true for our two focus verticals, global internet as well as BFSI. And you see here the growth for global internet is quite astonishing with over 50% for Q3 as well as for the first 9 months as next as this year. Thirdly, we are a east to west global platform already, but there are certain opportunities. And as I said in our roadshow presentation, our midterm idea is to reach internally 40 countries around the world. We are now with 3 in preparation at a 34 mark, so there will be more to come, and we are working and assessing different options to expand further in Africa, Latin America, Asia, as well as Eastern Europe. So really quite optimistic about this organic growth trajectory that is an important driver of our business, and we will invest further in this increased global delivery platform. So that's something we have on the radar, we are feeling very strongly about, and it's for us really a great way to extend our footprint further without any doing any M&A. I mean, this is an additional option we are investigating, but this is on an organic trajectory. And as I explained earlier, we are feeling also very happy about the development we have taken the last 9 months in our content services, trust and safety, and our tech and expert services, where we have made good progress towards our midterm guidance. And this has led to an increased guidance for this year, as well as a reconfirmation of the guidance we have provided for 2022. With this, I would hand over back to the moderator so we can start the Q&A session. I think we are good in time. Have an hour, and over to you.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. And our first question comes from Simona Sarli at Bank of America. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen, and thank you very much for taking my question. So I have a couple of them. First of all, if you could please comment on new contract wins and if you're seeing like a good momentum, and how should we think about that as we go into 2022? Secondly, if you could please also comment on the revenue retention ratio. So it seems to be slightly softer compared to H1, and if you could please explain why. And thirdly, what about M&A and your pipeline? Thank you.
Thanks very much, Simona. So let me start maybe with the last question, M&A. As we have outlined in the roadshow we have done in September, we have an active pipeline of 40 plus targets that we are constantly reviewing. We are working on this in order sort of to fulfill our strategic goals. We don't feel pressure to do something immediately, but we are, as I said, actively scanning and pursuing and evaluating different options. And once something materializes, you will be the first to know. But I think we're right in the strategy. I don't have any concerns from our roadmap that we have as we speak, and we're working actively on the pipeline. So there, I would say, stay tuned. And once we have made progress that can be reported, we will do so. Then with regard to revenue retention, as we explained before, we do see really a strong momentum with our existing clients. But I think as we also explained last time, we have seen in particularly a strong growth in Q3 last year. So what you see now on a year-to-date basis is this base effect that we have a little bit of a softer net revenue retention, but I think it's just 2 percentage points top of my head. Maybe Otman, you can confirm. Yeah. And that's essentially the base effect because the growth in Q3 last year was very strong. And this is still our focus, is we still see a lot of potential with our existing clients. And then your third question regarding new contracts. So we haven't shared with you here in our quarterly update the number of new contracts wins. What we see now that this is a very active pipeline that we have, again, with existing clients, but also new opportunities. So we will provide more information when we do provide our annual report in March next year on details this one, but we don't share how many contracts we have won or these kind of metrics. But we feel as a management team, when it comes to the demand curves, as you've seen also in the guidance, quite optimistic regarding the demand for services from our existing clients, so new LOB opportunities, as well as new client opportunities.
Thank you. Regarding new contract wins, not necessarily the new number of contracts that you have won, but maybe if you can give us a little bit more color where you are seeing stronger demand in terms of customer segments as well as solutions.
So I think we do look at our verticals really in a very focused manner, and we are very optimistic with regards to our two focus verticals, Global Internet and BFSI, where we see a lot of opportunities. We are really one of the leading players there in that space in these verticals, and we see a very good momentum also to expand our exposure to these verticals further. Well, that's why I think if you look at our guidance, as we say, that roughly half of our business will be with Global Internet, we are now at 44%, and we are quite optimistic sort of with regard to that guidance.
Thanks.
And our next question comes from Eric Zeltz at JP Morgan. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, thank you. And good afternoon, all. Eric Zeltz here, JP Morgan. A couple of questions, and maybe first of all, a bit of a follow-up on the last one. So if you think about the Global Internet clients, now 44% of revenue, grown from 42, I think, in the half year, but content services within that within Global Internet have remained stable at 21%. Is it fair to say that non-content services is growing faster than content services?
So relatively speaking, in this short one, yes. But again, as we've seen, Otman showed you the growth numbers, given the fact that we have grown so massively with our Global Internet services by 58% year-over-year for the first 9 months. And as this is essentially a little bit more driven by customer interaction services, you're right, but we also see strong growth on our content services side now, because it's a relative share of a growing base. No, if you do the math. So, and as I said, our focus is really executing the demand. So that's why 80%, 90% of our force is making sure that we stay on, let's say, the top performing ranks with our clients, and are really doing a well-performing execution. And that's really our focus as a management team over the last 9 months.
Yeah, there may be two other questions, if I may. So on the increased guidance and the impact of COVID, I mean, is there in Q4 now an expected impact from any of the COVID-19 business?
So, Otman, maybe over to you, as you already alluded to it.
Absolutely. So, indeed, what we were foreseeing in our H1 update is a termination of most of the activities on COVID-19 business at the end of September. Reality is that we've had some activities going on later, and we do see a residual impact of COVID-19 business in Q4 of this year. However, as we speak, we see no COVID-19 business at all in 2022.
And is there any, can you say anything about the size of that COVID-19 business and sort of the relevance of that in the upgraded guidance?
Is it, to be honest,
yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, to be honest, Eric, it's really, really today in terms of visibility and also uncertainty that we have there. We are in daily contacts with the, especially the public institutions that we're supporting in continental Europe. And as you can see, they have, different decisions which are taken country by country, activity by activity. So it's really, really difficult today to project with accuracy what the impact will be in Q4 in terms of volumes and size.
Yeah. Okay. And then the last question is around China. And although I appreciate it wasn't consolidated in the group last year, but is there anything to say in terms of what the references were in last year compared to this?
Adnan, cover that especially.
I think, as I mentioned, we have no reference for last year, but what is interesting is the sequential growth developments that we see in China, and as I mentioned before, in the first half the contribution of China was roughly 5% of our net revenue. In Q3 it's more than 6%. So we do see so first of all, as I mentioned last time, we quickly integrated China. At the end of June, we had fully integrated China from IT operations and organization perspective. And now we really see some nice synergies and developments to support the growth in China.
Is it partly seasonality, the growth in China?
No, it's the extension of the business.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay.
You do have some seasonality effect, as you obviously have Chinese New Year in Q1, but you also had the Golden Week now in October, for instance, that has an effect in Q3. But the business is really expanding quite nicely. As Otman mentioned, we're going to third and fourth tier cities now and expanding our also footprint in opening new sites in China. So we are actually, as we said before, quite optimistic about the value that China will bring to our top line, to our bottom line, but also to our digital capabilities.
Yeah, but although this business it existed in 2019, 2020, I think in the AP you mentioned that the business is basically in China already there's a footprint in China for 20 years, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
There's no possibility for you to share the year-on-year growth.
No, I can explain, but as we have just acquired the business in January, yes, it was part of the Bertelsmann perimeter, and yes, we were operating in China as a Bertelsmann entity for more than 20 years, so there's a long history of deep know-how in the market, but as part of the Majorel perimeter, where we also have the financials, we only have the reference, or we only share the reference for this year, but be assured, as we acquired the business, it's a growing business.
Okay, that was all for me. Thank you.
And our next question comes from Suhasini Varanasal at Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. This is Suhasini from Goldman Sachs. I just had one, please. Is it possible to maybe give us some color on how Q1 and Q2 revenues were? I know we didn't have the quarterly breakdown before the IPO. But now that we have Q3, it will help us understand how the sequential development underlying business has been. Or maybe if you could give some color, it will help us with the modeling as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Sassi. Nice to hear from you again. I hand over to Otman for the Q1 and Q2 development. Otman, do you have the numbers at your fingertips?
We haven't communicated on the pattern on Q1 and Q2, even if in our H1 communication. Today what we see also in Q3, as I mentioned, in terms of sequential growth and the good progress on all these KPIs that Thomas mentioned towards the midterm guidance, really. Makes us confident, but we haven't indeed communicated on Q1 and Q2.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad.
Seems all pretty clear.
Yeah, we have not received further questions. I will hand back to you.
Okay, perfect. So unless you have any additional questions that you would like to ask during this call, we would conclude this call for today. But rest assured, you know, if you have any additional questions that you would like to discuss, please feel free to call me anytime. And we are thanking you very much for participating in our today's first conference call on the occasion of our Q3 9-month figures. And we wish you a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.